It's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live in Los Angeles, California, right here on the Roku channel. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Lots of fun conversations to be had here on this program. Soup to nuts, all 3 hours. 844-204-RICH, as I mentioned, number to dial. Look down, I already see phone lines lit. That means we're engaged. And you're engaging, and that's awesome.
It's Friday, baby.
We're here on the Roku channel. We're here on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. We're here on Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our podcast listeners on the Cumulus Podcast Network. And I say hello to you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on
I
over there,
I say hello
brother?
To you, Rich. Nice blue shirt.
I appreciate you saying that.
That was when you say nice blue shirt to you.
Oh, yeah, nice blue shirt to you. I do like your blue shirt.
I'm setting you up. It's like assist time.
It's a new shirt. I haven't worn it before. How are you, Jay Felly? What's going on?
I'm great. Nice blue shirt, guys.
Is it blue shirt
nice
day?
Nice blue shirt, Jay Felly.
Is that blue over there? I can't see through the lights, TJ.
I mean, yeah, I got some blue on. I'm wearing a Sting t-shirt.
Oh,
Surfer Sting.
Hey,
I got blue, you know? Take. So, yeah, blue is the theme today, I guess.
Oh, Sting the wrestler.
Sting the wrestler.
Oh, I was about to say,
yeah. Surfer Sting, you know, before the crow.
I thought you were going Sting as in
the rocker
singer the police.
The wrestler with the blonde flat top.
I'm a 53-year-old man.
So Sting. No, he's probably actually older than
all right. Do you know, I know tonight we've got play-in activity. Final days of the play-in. I've enjoyed the play-in tournament.
Yeah, it's fun.
I do like the play-in tournament.
Good addition.
I do like the play-in tournament.
Yeah,
the thing I don't understand is where were the games last night?
We got to have a travel day, Rich.
No.
Got to regroup.
What travel day?
Regroup.
What travel day?
Got a regroup day.
You made the 9-10 game. You're lucky to still you're lucky to play in. You are.
So they should play back to back.
Yes.
And you've been complaining about people sitting out.
I am not the one complaining about back to backs. Some people are complaining about back-to-backs because their back hurts.
My back hurt this morning.
No. Here's the problem. These back-to-backs, the players should be forced to do. You're playing 9-10. Like, get on a plane from Toronto.
And play
go down to Miami and play the next night.
You're on your own on this one, bro.
No, I'm not.
You're the 10th seed.
You're the 10th seed.
You don't deserve any
You're
perks.
Lucky to be playing in.
Right, exactly.
That's ridiculous.
You are lucky to be playing in. Now,
I don't know.
I understand that the Heat get a day off and then they get to stay at home and host. The Timberwolves get a day at home and they get to stay at home and host. I'm telling you, man, if you're the 9-10, you're lucky to be getting on a plane to keep playing. That's my only I do like the play-in tournament where first night winners go on. Losers go home but to host. And then the next night, losers go home. And winners go on for a shot to win back-to-back games, sometimes on the road, to go to the playoffs. I guess you need to give them a day off.
Yeah.
You got to give the Thunder a day off. And you got to give the Bulls a day off to rest their voices for Come free
on.
Throws.
Come on. We need DR tonight.
Look, I want them at peak
apparently
performance.
Apparently she's not in Miami this evening. So, we won't be. Was it a one screech and done? Right.
Well, there's always home games. So
wow. I was wondering where they were last night, and NHL season finished up. Got that going on.
What an awful season this year.
Well, you know what I need. What? You know.
Penguins didn't make the playoffs for the first time.
You got a few more. I mean, NHL season is in its final throws, and I'm glad that we still have a little bit more time before the playoffs begin, so I can completely understand how they come up with the playoff field.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I have no idea. Honestly, I need a slide rule to figure out who's in and who's not and who's at, you know, and who's got the, you know. Yeah. Wild card round, whatever. At any rate, playoff hockey's starting next week.
Maybe that'll be great. Help explain it.
That'll be great. But you know, we got the Heat Bulls this evening.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Timberwolves, the fighting Timberwolves.
Rudy Bat?
I don't know. We'll see.
Game time decisions.
Wow. GTD.
Same thing with Cat. Cat's game time.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a big L. This is big L. Rest in peace for the Timberwolves.
That means the Thunder move on? To take on the Denver Nuggets on Sunday?
They're a way more fun team.
I think they were going to do that regardless if they played or not.
So that's tonight. And so we have one more day to start wondering who needs it more, Harden or Embiid?
Harden.
We need got one more day. Well, the Suns play on Sunday, right? Is that when the Suns play?
That's when the Clippers
play. We got two more. Yeah.
The Clippers play on Sunday.
So they got two more days until Durant. Figure it out. Durant.
I can't wait for that series.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at one of the...
I think you're going to be grossly disappointed, TJ.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I guess we'll see. What are you looking at, Rich?
I'm just looking at what our competitors are talking about, and I just wonder how their brains work sometimes. I'm just being very honest.
Can I walk over and look?
Yeah, come over here. I don't care. We're nominated. Here you go. No, right over. Come over here. I'm really going in a way that I shouldn't. Look in the middle of the screen, wondering right there. Oh, you can sit down. Top middle. Is Kevin Durant tough enough?
I guess Mike's on.
Is he tough enough?
Tough enough.
Wow.
All right. Can we sit down? There we go.
I mean, he's only like, what is he, 200 pounds, TJ? I mean, remember when he couldn't bench press 185?
Yeah. All right, look at you back. Sitting in the guest seat. By the way, Andrew Hawkins is going to be
like eyes in overtime.
I'm wearing shorts. And I'm saying, eh.
Okay, very good.
with a blue flannel on.
Are we really going to spend time on whether Kevin Durant's tough enough?
I mean, apparently some people are.
You know what Kevin Durant's going to do? Come on, I mean, honestly.
They're undefeated when he's in the lineup. They're, what, 7-8-0? And he's going to probably average 35 a game
in the
series.
The Suns may not go on a run that everyone's expecting him to, and you're going to blame Durant for that?
They're the favorites to win the West.
Please. I'm excited for Warriors Kings. Ian Eagle's calling game two of that on Turner. And he's going to be calling Nets Sixers game one locally.
Ooh.
Because, you know, he's the voice of the Brooklyn Nets locally.
So we can't.
And so Nets Sixers. So we'll talk Nets Sixers, Warriors Kings. He did the Heat Hawks game the other night. Kings, Cavs, that is the most entertaining, what everyone feels, deck chair rearrangement on the Eastern Conference side.
Oh, the Knicks, Cavs.
Knicks, Cavs. What did I say?
You said Kings.
Oh, sorry. Knicks, Cavs. At any rate.
I thought you were predicting the NBA Finals. I was like,
No.
Oh, we can make some money on that.
2 weeks. It was 2 weeks from today.
What happens?
We'll know the answer to all the first round of the NFL draft questions. We'll know it all. We'll know if the Texans did, in fact, go in a different direction. The whole conversation has been Lovie Smith spat in the eye of the Houston Texans in the last drive, last game of the year, in his last game of his tenure there. And he spat in their eye and he tried to win a game he had no business trying to win. When the Texans sat there in the position, all you got to do is lose and you get the first overall pick and the Bears get it instead. And the Carolina Panthers move all the way up. Now, that could actually be as significant as we believe for the Texans if they don't like whoever the Panthers leave on the board for them to choose. Is it possible that if Bryce Young is the choice of Carolina, the Texans pass on C.J. Stroud happily for Will Anderson? If that happens, then every quarterback not named Bryce Young would be available for anybody to choose third overall if they call the Cardinals and make the offer that the Cardinals want to hear. And if that doesn't happen and the Cardinals choose somebody not named a quarterback because they covet that person too, is it possible the Colts just sit where they want, fourth overall, and get to choose any quarterback other than the one that the Panthers took off the board? Is it possible Stroud goes first and then Bryce Young winds up in Houston and then there's a whole free-for-all at the third overall spot? Or the Panthers and the Texans choose a quarterback and there's no free-for-all after that? That we aren't evaluating the quarterbacks in the media in the same way that the NFL teams are evaluating the quarterbacks, and that's is what Adam Schefter was mentioning about how the Texans might pass on a quarterback, and that's a sentiment Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated came on this show and rebutted with zero static. Totally agreed with it. Totally agreed with Schefter, thinking the Texans might move on without a quarterback. And he said maybe we're not evaluating the quarterbacks in the media in the same way they are with the NFL. And that is just fascinating to me. Because Anthony Richardson is sitting right there, and it really depends on who you talk to. It really depends on who you talk to as to whether he's tops in the draft or he's not all that. You hear he is a big dude who can throw and run, and people talk about Cam Newton, and then you hear the pushback like, he's not Cam Newton. Cam was one of the best college quarterbacks ever, and he had an Auburn team that he didn't have much help on. He elevated that team. He personally beat everyone that year.
I think Chris and I looked it up. I think they had three pros, Chris, maybe, on that two starting lineups, offense and defense.
Yeah. It was all Cam.
So it's all about Richardson. And suddenly, 2 weeks before the draft, 13 days before the draft, on this day, we'll have our questions answered 2 weeks from now. Is it possible Richardson slips down the board? Because you're hearing Texans aren't interested in any quarterback that might not be named Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They might not be interested in one of those two I just mentioned. And Will Levis and his weird eating habits shooting up the draft boards.
Just eats the banana whole.
It's with the peel on. I even just saw a video of an elephant who peels his bananas on CNN.
An elephant?
Yes.
How's an elephant peel a banana?
I saw it. It's an incredible video. And Will Levis is just like some sort of, I'll just eat it like, you know.
All brown and everything.
Puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ew. I've seen it.
Red flag.
Yeah.
And in terms of Richardson and the pushback you hear about him, it's always, and the pushback, he's not Cam Newton. Cam Newton went undefeated with a bunch of guys who really didn't do very much in the pros, is his record, the Florida record, 6-7 this year. He didn't play in a bowl game. So you look at Anthony Richardson's record, 6-7, and that's the pushback. Does it matter? This is what he had to say when I asked him that very question the day after the combine that he personally blew up with his skills.
A lot of people see that record and, you know, they think, you know, we were a good team. You know, a lot of people, they see the record and they say, oh, Anthony Richardson can't lead a team. You know, he can't even, you know, go, you know, 500 in the season. But, you know, to that, I just say, you know, they don't know the ins and outs of the game. You know, they don't understand what we go through daily. They don't understand how hard we work. You know, sometimes, you know, things don't fall your way, and you know that comes with the game. And you know, I feel like whenever I step into a team, you know, I step on a team, you know, I'm there to contribute. You know, give my all, and you know, provide any way I can. I feel like I did that every game.
You look at their record at 6-7. And the thing you also get see some pushback on that record of what Richardson had to say is the first loss of Anthony Richardson's season was to Will Levis in Kentucky. Yep. Will Levis had 202 yards on 13-24 passing with a touchdown and a pick. He was sacked three times. Anthony Richardson was 14-35 for 143 yards and two interceptions and no touchdowns. No bueno. You then take a look at his second loss of the season. Guess who it was against? Hendon Hooker. He's also available in the draft. Hooker went 22-28 for 349 and two touches. Richardson, 24-44 for 453 and two touchdowns in the air. I should mention that against against Tennessee. Hooker also, Richardson also had 67 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Against Georgia, Richardson lost his third game of the year. Everybody lost to Georgia. Stetson Bennett's available in this year's draft. He lost to three fellow draftees. Mm. Stetson Bennett, 316, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Anthony Richardson, 18-31, 271, one touchdown, no interceptions. He also had 48 yards rushing on the day. He also lost to Florida State. He was 9-27 in that game for three touchdowns, 198 yards. And then another loss coming against Vanderbilt. That's the one that really sticks. Even though he had 400 yards and three touchdowns, they lost to Vanderbilt. How does Florida lose to Vanderbilt? How do you choose that guy first overall? And his answer would be, look at the tape. And anybody who looks at the tape will just go, wow. And when you see him in person, you say the same thing. This one hole windup for the pitch that in 2 weeks we're going to find out the answer to this question. And if he's available for Seattle at 5, what happens when Detroit's sitting there at 6, Vegas at 7, Atlanta at 8? What happens if Anthony Richardson's sitting there for each one of them? That would just turn this whole damn thing upside down if the Colts look at the record and say, that's not a kid that we're looking for. And they go Will Levis instead. Or are both of those guys available after 10 picks in the draft? Holy cow. Totally wide open. Totally have no idea what's going on. And Richardson is the linchpin. He is the biggest question mark of them all. Who's going to go for it? Personally, I think it's the Colts. I don't think he gets past 4. But I need to kick some more tires. Because now you're hearing Will Levis is higher rated than Richardson. Is that a way to tell the Arizona Cardinals, guess what? We're not going to answer your, we're not going to hit your asking price? Because they might have reached out and it's too high of an asking price and they're like, we don't want Richardson anyway. We want Will Levis. Let's get that out there. I love it. Can't make heads or tails, but that's what this thing's all about. Beautiful. We'll talk about it forevermore. The Tampa Bay Rays are 13-0 because they just swept the worst team in baseball. So we got that going on. We'll talk about that on this program. He's not paying attention. Just snuck it past the goalie. Let's take a break. Ian Eagle is next. He'll be talking about the NBA playoffs that begin essentially tonight with two elimination games to wrap up the play-in tournament. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. No Bull is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. No Bull's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobullproject.com/NFL to see how No Bull forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to the Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by No Bull called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. A longtime friend of this program, loved his coverage, calling the action between the Heat and the Hawks, and the Hawks moved on to Boston. The Heat take on tonight the Bulls, but he is calling Game 1 of the Nets and Sixers locally in the New York City area. And then we will enjoy his call of Warriors Kings game two on TNT later on next week. Ian Eagle back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich, how are you? What's happening?
I'm doing fine. Just getting ready for a draft and playing tournament action. Playing tournament. You know, that's what I got for you.
Yeah, you're juggling. You're a juggler.
So are you. So are you. Where do the stats for the play-in tournament go? Do you know? Is there just like a secret vault that just exist?
It's
a trapdoor?
It's in Sea Caucus, New Jersey. It's behind a locked door. Nobody can access them.
Nope.
It is weird. I definitely brought it up in our production meeting the other day. Mm-hmm. It spilled over on the air a little bit. I didn't want to make it a huge thing. And then I watched the New Orleans-Oklahoma City game, and Jeff Van Gundy just uncorked it. He clearly was ruffled over the idea that these numbers don't go anywhere. They're just there. They're like, in the ether, but not.
Yeah.
They're not of the earth.
Through the moon door of Game of Thrones. But in a way, yeah, I was literally thinking that watching your game, like Kyle Lowry going off, and I'm like,
yeah,
this has got to be like a play-in tournament record or something, or he must be closing in on it. And I'm like, oh, that's right. There are no such things. It's weird.
It's weird. It is. It's a little odd because anyone that's grown up a sports fan, numbers are everything. They're the catalog in which we remember things, our recall, our memories are connected in some way to the stats. So just instinctively, you assign it with an experience or with a moment that you watched. I don't know. I think the NBA at some point may address it. Maybe after years and years accumulating them, they'll place them in a separate area, separate category that'll pop up on the internet. But you really have to seek out the box score from the individual games from the play-in if you want any history as to what happened before. I will say this,
yes, sir.
And I know it's been universally praised,
mm-hmm.
but just to add to that, it's been great. It's exactly what the NBA needed, and not just because you get a one-and-done format that pops up in the final game, the finality of who gets the 8 seed, but the last 2 to 3 weeks of the regular season are clearly affected. There are teams that are feeling a part of it. There are fan bases that are now included. You're jockeying for position. The 1 and the 2 seed, to me, takes on even more added importance because you're getting rest, and the team that you're going to play is not getting rest. They have to actually go out and earn it. So being the 2 seed as opposed to the 3 seed, maybe in past years you'd say, no big deal. Now there's a little bit of a wrinkle to it. So it's been a smashing success for the NBA.
Ian Eagle joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the Nets, sir. You're going to see him in Philadelphia for game one on Saturday.
Yeah.
If before the season you had told me that it would be the 6-seeded Nets at the Sixers in round one, I would have thought, well, off year a bit for Durant and Kyrie. Perhaps it's because there was something beneath the surface last summer between the two of the guys, and that Steve Nash would be coaching for his job. And yet, lo and behold, look at the team that's showing up there on Saturday. The journey is remarkable, and so is the team. There's a lot of guys to root for, from Jacques Vaughn and obviously Mikal Bridges and what he's been up to in his new digs and what this team looks like and what they can do to kind of derail the Sixers on this whole front. And I'm wondering what it was like from your perspective to watch this team just morph nonstop all year long.
It felt like 3 seasons in one.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't feel like a continuous regular season, which you normally feel in the NBA over an 82-game season. Of course, there are peaks and valleys, there are ups and downs. But with this season for the Nets, there have been different versions of who they are based on circumstance, based on suspension, based on trades, based on coaching changes. So it's been a wild ride, and to come out of it in this spot that they're in, competitive, harmonious, connected in the brief period of time that they've spent together, these guys seem to genuinely like playing with one another. And I know that would seem like a fairly perfunctory part of the game, but it's not always the case. And the fact that they have created some chemistry, and there's a little bit of juice here. Mikal Bridges has played like an all-star, even beyond an all-star. He's played like an all-NBA type of talent. And the other new faces, Cam Johnson and Spencer Dinwiddie, who was an old face who's back, Dorian Finney-Smith, the fact that they came in, they took on the responsibility, the guys that were here prior to the Kyrie and KD trades, that's an odd situation to be in. You had been a starter. You had been going down one road thinking you're winning a championship potentially, and now you're asked to come off the bench as Royce O'Neal or Joe Harris and some others, and you've got to accept your role, and it's worked. So it's something that they can build on, and obviously what they do in this series might have an effect on some of the decisions that they have to make, but boy, it's been a lot. They've packed in a lot in a one-season format.
And then once this this contest is over, you hop that, I'm sure, one nonstop from Philadelphia to Sacramento, right? Like, have we identified that
I'll
one?
I'll go Jersey. Oh. I'll go back to Jersey. We're neighboring states.
Yep.
So I can go back across state lines, and then I could fly into Sacramento on Sunday. Yeah, I can give you the full itinerary.
Yeah, please. I like it. Go for it.
My dinner request. Yeah, no, it's all laid out.
Okay. That Newark to Sacramento flight, here we go. And, yeah. I mean, the whole idea that nobody wanted to take on the Suns, let's avoid the Suns, it's much better to take on the Kings. I would counsel against that whole thought. I can't wait to see what this team has got cooked up, and they got the defending champs. So what are you already eyeing on that one, Ian, on that game two?
It's juicy, really, really juicy. You got,
I like it,
Sacramento, a team that is so much fun, dynamic offense, turnaround story, that community, that fan base. They've been waiting 17 years to finally have a team that they can root for and be proud of. And they're doing it with young guys for the most part. You know, a couple of veterans here and there, but De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray, and then you've got a veteran in Harrison Barnes. You know, my only concern for Sacramento would be depth. If there's an issue on that front line, is it deep enough? Is the team deep enough to withstand it? They've been able to handle it throughout the regular season, so I'm sure Mike Brown believes that they've got the goods to get it done in the postseason as well. But it's a new experience for the most part for most of these guys. Harrison Barnes won a title back in the day. So I think they're just riding so much goodwill, so much momentum, and then with all their hard work and with everything they've accomplished, they have to play the defending champions in the first round. It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem normal. But this is the NBA this year. And for the most part, Rich, I've been doing it 29 years in the NBA. I don't know if I remember this many series where the lower seed has the bigger names, the better resume, and even in the eyes of Las Vegas, might be given a better chance to win, whether or not they're the favorite or not, but the Lakers, Memphis, similar set of circumstances that we're talking about here. So really good sign for the NBA in terms of parity and unpredictability and a little bit of mystery. Normally in the first round, these seem to be foregone conclusions. And now you question it a little bit that maybe one of these lower seeded teams can get it done.
And the team, the best team you've seen all year, Ian, is which?
Whew. I mean, the best team I've seen, obviously it's based on when I saw them. I saw Denver when they were playing outstanding basketball, blown away by their ball movement and how much Jokic affects the game. But coming into the postseason, that's another question mark, the pressure that the Nuggets are going to have to deal with, and Michael Malone, and what happens if this team doesn't go to a Western Conference final or beyond. In the East, yeah, saw Milwaukee a couple of times when they were really cooking, and they're still fun, and they're still exciting. Same deal with Boston. They're capable. They could win the whole thing. And now with Kevin Durant on the Phoenix Suns, I haven't seen them yet with KD, but I've seen a lot of KD. So I know what he's capable of and how that team could just go on an absolute heater and win the whole thing. And it wouldn't shock me at all. So I think it just plays to what we were talking about, the fact that it's no longer write this team in, write that team in, and call me when it's time to deal with the conference finals. I don't think that's the case this year. I think you've got some intrigue. The Knicks-Cleveland series, Rich.
Yep.
I love that series. I have no clue how that's going to play out. The Knicks have created so much chemistry this year and a lot of confidence. And Cleveland is insanely talented, young, but they've got a go-to guy in Donovan Mitchell. So it's a playoff eve, but it feels like we're getting presents this year.
Well, I think you'll agree, though, to Iron Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. You said you've been at this for 29 years. And so this may be a newfangled thing or not, but it is amazing how many teams it's so wide open, anybody could win it. And then it just comes down to which team has a superstar player whose 9-year-old screeches the loudest during free throws, right? It just comes straight down to that, Ian, right? And wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
I think now we're delving into the minute details that can separate a team that I never even knew about. I'm the first to tell you, Rich,
yes.
I am always intrigued
yes.
by anything that's happening off the court that affects what's happening on the court.
Yes.
So if there's spillage, I get very excited about it. The idea that you stop a game,
yes.
that a sporting event, high-level sporting event, yeah. has to stop because someone's drink spilled.
I saw that
always,
Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Happy yes, Tuesday. Yep.
Yes, I just find it fascinating. So the idea that a player's daughter could make a noise that would resonate and impact what you're hearing on television. And here's the reality of it.
Yes.
This is what I've always tried to do as an announcer. If you see something on screen that people are seeing at home
yeah.
and you don't refer to it, then that's on you. You're not paying attention because people are looking around and asking, like, wait, what was it? There was a woman sitting front row in an evening gown.
I saw
at the Miami Heat game.
Yeah, what was that? You made reference to it, and Jimmy Jackson knew exactly who it was, right? What happened
yeah,
there?
Yeah, we had not discussed it. I had not mentioned it. It just struck me in the moment that at the top of the screen, front row, there's a woman in a green evening gown. Mm-hmm. And you know, whatever came into my head at that moment was, this woman just came from a cotillion, and she's now sitting front row at an NBA play-in game. And Jimmy says, oh, no, I actually know her, husband. And I'm like, oh, my, you know everybody. And that's my point with what happened with DeMar DeRozan's daughter. We all heard it.
Yes.
You heard the screech. And I give credit to ESPN for actually finding out who was doing the screeching and what the connection was, because that's what I would want to know if I'm sitting at home. What is that? Who is that? Why is it happening? And to me, it was a great piece of story.
Well, Mark Jones and Doris Burke couldn't help but talk about it. Because
You had to.
It was coming straight through your screen. We even have recorded it. This is the actual. Go for it. That's it.
It stands out.
It is.
You can't unhear it.
And Scottie Barnes even said, you know, hey, we missed 15% of our free throws. It definitely affected us. Right? You never know.
Now,
like, seriously, like,
you're a flyer out? Is that the rumor?
I don't know. Apparently, she can only get one day out of school, and Toronto was it. So the Heat fans won't think that there's some young lass losing a limb underneath the basket with hearing her screaming like that. But, you know, it's just wild to me how, you know, you're a lead pipe wielding professional, Ian, and you're prepared, and you got all your storylines, and it just go right down the tubes as soon as the game starts because some 9-year-old screeching underneath the basket.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Keep your head and ears on a swivel.
That's right. Like, so what do we call
it? Important stuff to cover.
So if there's spillage, do we call this shriekage? Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Is it shriekage?
That, Yeah, I mean, there's shrinkage and there's shrinkage.
There you go.
It could be
spillage.
It could be something that pops up on the air. Excuse the pun.
The NBA playoffs is fantastic. It's fantastic to go back in the day right there. All right, Ian. Look, travel safe. Be well. And if you're out here in Los Angeles, will you do me a favor? Text me because I'd love to have you here. We'll send you a car. We'll do all sorts of stuff. It'll be great.
I will absolutely text you. We should mention that you and I ran into each other on the streets of downtown Phoenix.
Yes, we did at the Super Bowl.
Arbitrarily.
We did.
Yes.
Coming right around
Amazing.
The corner. It was
We shared it. It was great. We shared an embrace.
We did.
We chatted for easily 45 seconds.
No, it was longer than that. Come on. It was longer than that. And I didn't want to take up too much of your time. I knew you were focused because you were broadcasting to the world the next day.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
it's not just
the pressure.
Honestly.
Indonesia.
Absolutely.
On my mind at that point.
No
yes.
doubt, man. I mean, I know you're used to talking to America's most watched network frequently. And the world's a totally different ball of wax. So, and by the way, next time around when we do this 1 year from now, we'll be talking about the national championship game you called, right? That's next up for you.
Yeah,
next year.
It's going to be awesome.
It will be.
Awesome.
Yes.
And Rich, a new episode of the comedy that critics love, Ghosts.
Oh, I thought it was How I Met Your Genius, which is what you told me.
That's going to be future.
That's the
future,
one we were talking about the last time about. Yes.
Good point.
Yeah, very good. Take care of yourself, Ian. Be well.
All right, bud.
Thanks for doing this.
All the best.
You back.
Have fun.
It's the one and only Ian Eagle. Makes me laugh very hard every time he comes on.
We could do 20 minutes with Ian and not say anything.
He did. By the way, he did that the other night where they stop a game because somebody sitting in the front row got hit by a player, and he called it spillage. They got to stop for spillage. He and Jim Jackson are a good listen.
Yeah.
Because Jim Jackson knew it was a famous singer, I think.
Yeah, and he knew, a famous singer. And I'm trying to find a picture of it. I can't find it.
Right.
Anywhere.
He tells Jim, he goes, you know everybody. And he just deadpanned Jim Jackson. He goes, I played in 11 cities. I know everybody.
I just love Ian said she came from a cotillion.
Very funny, man. Very funny. All right, we'll take a break. Your phone calls. And we've got What's More Likely in hour number 2. There it is. The hit show, How I Met Your Genius, that Ian read the promo for. Yes, whoa. Fantastic. Back with more in a moment.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has 3 great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number 2 expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Fun stuff with Ian Eagle right there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What did you say before the show about there's James Bond news that's going on in the world?
James Bond news, Rich. We're always on the lookout for who could be the next James Bond.
Yes, sir.
Now that Daniel Craig has hung it up.
Yes.
Are we always on the lookout for that?
I mean, it's one of those things that people talk about a lot. James Bond is one of the most famous movie franchises that we have, right?
Right.
So the James Bond casting director, people always throw out names.
Idris Elba, I've heard lately.
Yeah, Idris Elba, a bunch of names get thrown out. Well, the James Bond casting director said that younger actors have lacked the gravitas and mental capacity to play 007.
Mental capacity? What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea. You're just playing a movie role. But
Henry Cavill looks good as Bond to me.
Richard Madden looks good as Bond to me.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw out any name you want. But it appears we are headed for a Bond that is a relatively unknown male in their early to mid-30s. And so it kind of got me.
So if you're, hold on a second, just before you get to your kind of thinking thing. Okay. So there could be some actor anywhere on planet Earth struggling to get a job.
Yep.
That hasn't done a couple things.
Just small parts here and there.
They try out one day. They pass the audition. Move on, eventually pass another audition. Move on, and they get the check mark from a studio on the Broccoli family. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And boom. Or is it Broccoli? I don't know. I ever see it. It says Broccoli on the
It's probably
on the movie
Broccoli,
poster.
But it looks like Broccoli.
And suddenly that person is James Bond?
Correct.
So it could be anybody.
Yeah, I've been meaning to tell you. I'm unavailable in the future.
There you go.
Yes.
Is that what Del Tufo's been doing? He's too old.
I meant me, not Del Tufo.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right.
Barbara Broccoli.
Broccoli. I think it is. Yeah.
It's about reinvention. Where are we taking it? What do we want to do with the character? And once we figure that out, it's who's the right person for that particular reinvention.
I don't get it. It's a reinvention. It's just somebody with a British accent who's got a license to kill, who's great with a gun, and
I heard where you were going with that, Rich.
Great with women?
Yes, thank you. Don't go back, baby. That's where you were going.
Sometimes not great with women, but...
That was part of Bond.
Sometimes.
He had galore, if you smell what the rock is cooking.
So, okay. I mean...
He has a certain type.
Yeah.
That just got me wondering, who in the sports world... would make a great James Bond. And I immediately thought Jimmy Garoppolo.
Man, you love Jimmy G, bro.
He's got the look. He's got the olive skin.
He's too nice.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we do.
But we know he's good with women, Rich.
He's too nice. He's too nice. You got to get somebody who's really dark.
A little edgy?
Yes, that's what you got to do. You got to get edgy. You got to get, I don't know.
That guy looks great in a suit. Bond has to look good in a tux.
How about this one? I got one for you. He was just on a Vanity Fair red carpet. He just hosted Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
He just flexed to cover up his dreadful first pitch, like a YouTube special first pitch, flexed by getting Aaron Judge to give him hitting lessons and kind of cover his tracks. Which is a nice move. How about Travis Kelce is the next James Bond? Look at that guy. He could learn the British accent. Let's go for it.
Looks good in a suit. Is he too tall?
Huh?
Is he too tall?
I don't. I mean, wasn't Roger Moore a tall dude? Wasn't he tall?
Pierce Brosnan was pretty tall. I think
you can fix that after.
But don't you need a British accent? How about Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent?
Boy.
Are we taking Bond to like R?
I don't know, you
super R-rated? I mean, what about Mike Trout?
Trout? You're talking about Trout. Mike Trout?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like athletes who have that chiseled look.
Edelman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Edelman would be a good Bond.
Got the perfect UFC guy. Friend of the show, Michael Bisping.
Okay.
Got the accent. He can fight.
Okay.
There he is.
That's and here's the thing
bad.
About Bisping, though,
That's
right?
That's not bad.
Here's the thing about Bisping. You don't know. Bisping had his eye removed, right? Yeah. So you could put in like a $6 million man bionic eye, and that takes James Bond to a whole new level with Bisping.
Yeah, Q could whip up this like super futuristic.
He could do like X-ray. Cyclops eye stuff come out of his eye.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, he could take pictures with the eye.
So you're taking Bond into the Marvel Universe? Is that what we're doing here?
We're trying to Bond into the elevated 21st century. I don't know. I was just thinking. I don't know. I like Bond. I love the Daniel Craig Bond, so I'm curious where they're going to go next. And just want to cross this over into the sports world.
I want to see, you know, there's a wrestler named Finn Balor, who Jason and I saw at WrestleMania. Yeah. You put Finn Balor in a suit with his athleticism, his looks. The dude's got like a 13-pack. I don't think he's ever eaten a carb. Like,
do you see Christian McCaffrey's latest photo?
Yeah, he's got more abs than McCaffrey, believe it or not.
McCaffrey, not a bad Bond.
McCaffrey is Bond.
We're just naming guys who are built.
In what way, shape, or form would? And I'd like McCaffrey, but is James Bond?
Bond has to be handsome.
That is true.
Christian McCaffrey's handsome. Jimmy Garoppolo, handsome.
Well, if that was the only criteria, then there'd be 10 million guys who could be James Bond.
Garoppolo's too nice. You don't think that guy's got a license to kill. You don't.
So you want that Ndamukong Suh type edge to them?
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Craig's Bond was a nasty SOB sometimes.
Right, Aaron Donald.
I like that. Aaron Donald is James Bond. I do like it.
It's a scary Bond.
That is a scary Bond.
Very scary.
Any hockey enforcers, Jay?
What do you got?
There's Adrian Kempe from the Kings.
He's just scored his 40th goal last night and then just dropped one on top. Yeah.
Big hockey guy.
He's best dressed every night. There's a few. Drew Doughty, if you get him some teeth.
All right.
Connor McDavid looks too nice.
He's too big, man. He's too big, too.
What about Cody Rhodes as a James Bond character?
That's not a bad one.
James Bond villain.
With his hair, he looks more like a villain.
Yeah.
Great villain.
844-204-RICH, number to dial if you've got some suggestions on that. We just want to make somebody in the sports world a Bond, the next Bond.
I'm trying to think of NBA players, but they're way too tall.
Too tall.
They are.
Like Dylan Brooks is Bond.
Again, you're
it's a super fly Dylan Brooks, right. So that version of him with his hair down.
Yeah. Dellavedova.
I mean, Steven Adams would be a great villain.
I mean, that would be great. He would be awesome.
Would be a great
villain. isn't Boban in the John Wick series?
Boban was in a John Wick.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union started developing directed energy microwave devices. And even to this day, the United States government is still continuing its research into high-power microwaves. It is nothing compared to what China is doing.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.